Hey, what's up, everybody? I just want to tell you real quick. I got the message today from Tom Segura. Asked me to do the Brea Improv with him this week. So starting Wednesday through Sunday, I'll be at the Brea Improv with Tom Segura. It's going to be a great time. If you're local, come out. We're going to have a lot of goddamn fun. All right. This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Policy Genius, MeUndies, and ExpressVPN. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. I just want to say thank you for your support. You guys send me so many messages every week, DMs, emails, all of it. I sincerely appreciate you guys. The community is growing and growing. Please subscribe to the YouTube. Let's get those numbers up over there. And if you want another episode a week, subscribe to the Patreon community. That thing is growing and growing. There are so many wild fucking stories out there, and they're still coming. I got emails just sitting and waiting where I'm like, Jesus Christ, we got to get this person on. It's $5 a month. That's it. One flat fee. If you sign up for a year or more, you'll get over a month of free episodes. And if you or someone you know just has that fucking story that needs to be heard, please submit it at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. All right, that's the biz. You guys know I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center. Unfortunately, as you know, been closed down for quite some time, but they are still offering online music lessons. You can still come in and get music instruments or get your instruments served, purchase whatever you want. If you go to santamonicamusic.com, use the code Honeydew, they'll waive the registration fee, and they will give you one free lesson when you sign up for a package. That's it. All right, now you know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. We shine a little light in that darkness and laugh in the face of trauma. We're over here, you know, doing things and solving problems. I'm very excited for this guest over here. First time on The Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Sarah Colonna, everybody. Welcome to The Honeydew, Sarah.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Nice introduction. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I haven't heard an applause in a long time. You know?
I know, right? Clap for yourself, girl. Before we get into what we're going to talk about today, will you please plug, promote everything you'd like?
Yes. Obviously, tour dates are who knows right now. Some are scheduled, some are not. Some are canceled, some may not. So you can keep an eye on those on sarahcolonna.com, C-O-L-O-N-N-A.com, and also has the links to both my books, which you can buy through my website, and they're on Amazon, and you can binge two seasons of Insatiable on Netflix, or the last two seasons of Shameless that I was on. And
yeah,
that's fun for everybody.
That's awesome.
If you're not leaving the house, you can read or watch TV.
That's it.
There you go.
So I'm interested to talk to you about this because you are a guest who has more of a story than a life story we're going to talk about today. But first, where are you from originally?
I grew up in Arkansas.
Oh, wow. Okay, Arkansas. Yeah,
Farmington, Arkansas.
And you say grow up. So how long were you there?
I was there from 5 years old until I graduated college, until I was 21.
Oh, did you go to University of Arkansas
as
well?
Yeah. Right.
You're a Razorback?
I sure am.
No shit. Yeah. All right.
I had a plastic hog hat and everything.
Did you? Who was like a premier athlete when you were there? Like who'd you go? Did you go to games?
Scottie Thurman, was basketball player. Corliss Williamson. I didn't pay enough attention to football at the time.
But yeah, you did have good basketball.
Yeah, they won the championship when I was, I think it was like 94.
Okay, were you there?
I wasn't, but I was on Dixon Street afterwards, where everyone put on their hog hats, and then they gave out public intoxications.
Yeah,
those were a nice thing in the South. They like to give you just for walking from bar to bar. I remember when I didn't get one, but a friend of mine did. And when they went to court, the judge fined him the score of the game. So whatever the score of the game was the
that was the fine. That's great.
Yeah. So it was like, we're celebrating, but also you still have to pay.
Let's keep it low score.
Yeah. Very Arkansas thing to do.
So I'm interested to hear about this story because I know it involves pets. But some other things as well, yeah. Which caught me off guard. I was like, whoa, all right, shut up and don't say anymore. So please share away.
Well, so when I moved out to California in 96, right after college, and I was living with my dad. He lived in Orange County at the time, kind of scraping money together to move up here.
Did you come here to be a comedian?
Yes.
You did, okay.
Acting, comedian, writing. I didn't know how it would all go together, but I wanted to do it. And stand-up in Arkansas wasn't a thing at the time. Not in where I grew up.
Is there a club there at all right now?
There, I mean, I don't even think there is in Fayetteville still. There's more of a performance place, and sometimes they do shows there, but they don't really have any dedicated, and then they for sure didn't. They didn't have any open mics. There wasn't anything. So I really didn't know how to get into it. I started out here, which is kind of a weird place to start stand up.
Yeah, it is. I did too. Yeah.
So I started going to, it was 97, I started going to an improv class, which I quickly realized that was not my thing. Yeah, it's not the same thing. People think it's not. And I went to the Comedy Connection. Is that it?
Yes,
in
that's
Sherman
one
Oaks.
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a class that I met this guy, and we started dating, I thought. We were dating. We never had sex. And
okay, can we talk about that a little bit? Because I'm a guy who has had sex with a girl before.
You have?
Yeah, I have. A couple. I've been lucky. And I've also thought, well, yeah, we had sex, but we're not dating.
Right.
You know what I mean? And where she's like, no, we had sex. We're dating.
Right.
I'm like, well, both of us fucked up because we should have had this conversation before I put anything inside you.
Right.
Yeah. So what makes you dating, but you're not sexually intimate? So, well,
and that was that was what was confusing, probably, because I had sex before that, and sometimes with people I didn't ever care to see again or date. But this person and I I was a little slutty in my early days. If anyone needs to know,
if anyone
needs me to clarify that. I got it all out.
Wait,
early.
Can I ask you, can we talk about that for a second? What is slutty? What do you, because here's, people ask me all the time, and I say, like, look, I know it's a double standard, but to me, if a woman lost her virginity at 18, let's say, and let's say she's 36 and she's not married, but she's only had two partners a year, just dated two guys a year, I don't think that's promiscuous. I don't think that's slutty. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But after 18 years, times two equals 36 partners. You know what I mean? So, and some people have had some better years than just two. You know what I'm saying? So
there's been slow years. And there's been good years, you know.
Some dry spells. And then I've hit on a few, you know. So what makes it slutty?
I don't know. I mean, I hate to use the term slutty because I wouldn't shame anyone, obviously. But I would just say
I mean, shame the sluts. I'm one of them. You can shame me.
Yes, male and female all around.
It takes two, yeah.
But there was – yeah, I don't know if I would say numbers that I would – I don't know.
Don't put numbers on.
No, let's not do that.
Also, I don't ask women anymore how many partners you've been with. I've learned, because I feel like when you're going like this, I'm like, she's counting by fives.
Yeah.
She is counting by fives.
I do tens. 10, 20, 30. No.
I'm decades. I'm like 70s, 80s.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that
there was fast. What do you mean slutty?
Probably like, promiscuous. Probably.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
I was 16.
Okay.
But I was also in Farmington, Arkansas, and there wasn't anything else to do. And I think I was, honestly, in my class, I was one of the last.
Last at 16.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So
all right.
I was definitely.
So you were like, I need to step my slut game up.
I was like, I guess I've been,
I need a kid next year.
I guess I've been. Yeah, I came out here. I don't know. There was maybe mixed with just having a few too many cocktails on my nights out and not really knowing anyone, and then being like, oh, I guess I'll hang out with that guy. And, well, he wants to hang out at home tonight in his apartment. So I guess that's where we're going. So it was just a little more free with my time.
Gotcha. But this guy was different.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that strikes me the most about this story, because he and I spent so much time together right off the bat. I didn't know him well. He had moved here from Florida. He was from Chicago, but he moved here from Florida, and I met him in this class.
And how old are you guys at the time?
I was 20. It was 97, so I was 22. I wasn't 23 yet. So he was, I believe, 24.
Okay, so same age.
Yeah. And we just started, I didn't know many people here, obviously, and we just started hanging out all the time. I mean, days, nights, lunch, after class, shopping together. Just, I spent a lot of time with this person that I didn't know very well. And so I hadn't really been in that situation because it usually takes me a little bit longer to warm up to people, unless I'm just going to have a one night stand.
Yeah.
Then it's like, you know.
Isn't it crazy how much different? It is so weird. Like, I'll fuck you, but I like you.
Yeah.
I'm all right waiting. I'm all right.
Yeah. I'm going to take my time. But I spent the night with them a couple times, but we didn't have sex and we made out.
Did you make it? Okay. So you at least had some intimacy. It wasn't like just we're best friends.
Right.
Okay.
But in retrospect, sometimes I look back and I'm like, maybe he just thought we were best friends and then sort of like pity made out with me or something. I don't know. And then I started wondering if he was gay because sometimes I would just be like, well, obviously if somebody doesn't want to fuck me, he's gay.
isn't it ego wonderful?
Couldn't have had anything to do with my shitty haircut and the fact that I smoked Marlboro Reds.
It's definitely not me.
It's definitely not me. But when he would make out with me, I was like, this feels like a straight person, you know, making out with me. Not that I actually know the difference.
I was going to say, have you made out with gay guys and you know the diff?
I guess I did once in college,
and
but
the passion just wasn't there.
Yeah, but I didn't know. Again, I didn't know he was gay at the time, and I'm not sure he did either. But felt like a regular kiss. I mean, who knows? But this guy, we spent a lot of time together. So one night, we go out to see someone at the Improv, called the Hollywood Improv, and do stand up.
Now, are you doing stand up at this point?
I hadn't gotten on stage yet as a stand up. I had friends that were doing it. I was still just trying. I was still in the improv class and I still hadn't figured out how to sort of, I hadn't done an open mic or anything yet. So, but I had friends that were doing stand up that I'd met in, you know, either at restaurants and working in, you know, bars and then these classes. So we go to see someone at the Hollywood Improv and this guy, he didn't drink, not a drop. And he wasn't sober because of anything. He'd never had a drop in his life, but he was really fun. Who knew? Can be fun without alcohol. Yeah, you guys, it's
holy
it's
shit.
True. Yeah. The rumors are true. So we, after the show that we saw, I wanted to go out for drinks with some friends, my friend that had just gotten off stage. So I said, let's, you know, we're all going to go out. And he had a friend with him who had had a couple drinks. And he said, I don't feel like going out. I'm just going to drive my friend, Mark, I think was his name, home. And I was like, okay, you know, are you sure you don't want to just come out? And he's like, you know, probably you're going to be annoying, I think was probably his take. Like,
so he's going to stay in, but then later drive a drunk friend home? Is that what he's going to be, a DD for somebody?
I think, yeah. Well, no, he didn't. He was like, we were going out and he said, I'm bailing. I'm going home.
Okay.
And I'm going to take my friend that's had a couple drinks with me. So he had someone with him. So cut to the next day, we were supposed to go to lunch and I'm calling him and calling him and he's not answering. And I'm like, this is so strange. He usually, you know, especially I was calling him kind of consistently at this point because he hadn't shown up and that was not like him. And it was just very strange.
How long had you known each other at this point? A few months?
Probably only 2.5 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Which again was, that's why it was so odd how much time we spent together. Mm-hmm. And but again, neither of us knew many other people either. So maybe it's not that odd. But it was strange for him to not be calling me back. So we were supposed to hang out again. So I'm calling him. And I'm thinking, like, did I piss him off last night because I went out? But no, he, you know, it was just let's either go out or not. And he just wanted to go home and he didn't seem upset. Well, finally, his roommate called me. And he was like, oh, hey, I see that you've been calling Neil. And I said, yeah, what's going on? And he was like, well, he was in an accident last night.
Taking him home, the same guy you're talking to?
No. Okay. No. He was taking his friend home, but this was his roommate. It wasn't the same person. And I said, all right, you know, where is he? I'll go visit him. And he said, well, no, he didn't make it.
No.
And neither did the guy that was with him.
Oh no, both of them.
Yeah. On Laurel Canyon Boulevard, which, you know, not that anyone
in the
Windy Canyon Road, and of all things for this guy to be hit by a drunk driver when he's never had a drop of alcohol in his life. Yeah. drunk driver killed two people.
Oh, and the driver lived?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Yeah. Actually, before I came here, I was so... I'd sort of just never looked up the person that hit him, since then at least. And he's fine. I mean, again, he made a horrible mistake, obviously, and he's in his 40s now. I don't know. But he seems to be out and about. So I don't know what happened with his like prison sentence or how long.
Did he go to prison?
I don't know
anything.
I couldn't find anything. And I feel like at that time it was harder to sort of follow up, you know, in 97 on like cases, and it's not all over Instagram and Twitter
and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a little. So
what is that like? What is it like to it's not only did you really like this guy, like you were probably one of the last, definitely one of the last people he saw.
Yeah. And I just was like, God, if he just would have gone with us in, you know, in this weird way, it's like if he would have gone with us, if I could have convinced him. So I felt guilty.
You did?
Yeah, I felt guilty, even though, I mean.
Like you could have pushed more to get him to go with you?
Yeah, but also what a weird thing to feel, you know, like, oh, I should have made you go out to drinks with me.
Right.
But there's just that what if you had, then you wouldn't have driven home at this particular time.
Or if we'd have asked you one more time, is that 10 seconds long enough for that drunk driver to get by you? Or
yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? I know. You could do that.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that before, but now I will.
Sorry.
I hadn't really gone by the 10-second thing, but Jesus Christ, Ryan.
Timing is everything, as you know.
Oh, yeah, you definitely.
Man, that's strange. Did you go to the funeral and stuff? Or
I didn't. So he had only been here for about the same amount of time that I knew
this
him.
Is every parent's worst nightmare. Their
it
kid
is.
Moves to, oh, God.
It is. And that's what my mom said to me. So there was this, I worked at this restaurant called Mirabelle at the time, and I had a friend.
Oh, I know. It was one at the Grove, and there's one in Sherman Oaks, right?
This was on Sunset.
Okay.
So it was like right next door to Red Rock. I don't know if you remember
yeah,
that
Yeah, of course.
Bar.
One of the best stand-up shows back in the
yeah.
day. Yeah, it was.
Had a lot of blackouts at Red Rock, unfortunately, in my 20s. But that was a friend of mine closed down Mirabelle. He was the bartender that night. And on his way home, he saw the accident because
no.
I started telling him about it the next day. And he's like, I passed by that on his, because he lived in Studio City. He was going home. I'm giving a lot of logistics that your audience
That's
is like,
okay.
Can she please quit talking about boulevards?
No, please. It's specific. You can
yeah.
look this Google map. It.
But so he had seen it, which I just thought was strange. It was like one of my closest friends was like, I saw it, you know, not everything, but it was closed down and he had to go around it and blah, blah, blah. And then I called my mom because I was very close to her. I am very close to her. And I told her what happened. And she said, you know, this is what you said. Every parent's worst nightmare. This guy just moved out to California pursuing his dreams.
And he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
He's sober and doing a solid by taking a friend home.
Yeah.
To make sure that person's okay.
Yeah.
And they both die.
Yeah.
Fuck.
From someone else not doing the right thing.
Who's still alive.
Yeah.
And on Facebook. Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, man.
Yeah. It's very, it was just so. And then I'm not like a religious or spiritual person very much, but I thought, oh, this is why I spent so much time with this person was because mm-hmm. I was only going to have that
a
much.
Short amount of time.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, cut to. So I didn't go to his funeral because I think his family brought him back to Chicago where he was from. Now, at the time that he passed away, I was taking care of – he had two cats, and his roommate that he had at the time was allergic or something. So I had his two cats in my house. So now he's dead and I've got two cats.
And what – is that weird as fuck?
So I was – yeah.
Like you have this guy's cats.
Yeah. Who I barely know.
And can I ask you after this, does anything change for you? Or do you drink more? Do you become more antisocial? Does anything happen? Are you freaked out by this?
I became a little more antisocial. I became more guarded with spending time with people.
Getting really close
yeah,
to people, especially
thought, well,
so quickly.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, because you're just going to leave anyway.
And it was one of the few times that I had sort of bonded with someone that quickly. So I thought – well, that's not worth it.
Yeah.
I've got friends I've known for a long time. I'll just stick with them. And
was this the first like significant death that you were close to in your life?
Yeah.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah. And especially someone young. Mm-hmm. Someone so young.
Very young, yeah.
And then a couple weeks after it happened, I got a letter, and I honestly don't know how this person got my address to this day. I don't know if his roommate somehow had it and passed it on, but I got a letter from a girl who said, hi, I was Neil's girlfriend until a few days ago.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Did she know about you?
She knew that we were friends, and so I think she wanted to reach out to me. I'm really trying to remember how she got my address. Oh, I know what it was. I got his mom's address and from his roommate. And I sent her a letter. After speaking to my mom, I sent her a letter. Sorry, this has been a while. But
it's okay.
No, I got his mom's address after I spoke to my mom from his roommate. And I just sent her a letter very – I didn't say I was his girlfriend. I didn't say, you know, he didn't have sex with me, so maybe he was gay. I didn't say
I
didn't say anything like that.
That was in my initial letter. Not my
Maravai. Not in my
Let me
final
cut the postscript off of this piece of paper.
Final draft. A little lighter. I said, I just want you to know that in the short time Neil was here, he had an impact on several people, including myself. We spent a lot of time together. He was wonderful. He was driving a friend home that night. Last I saw him, he was smiling and laughing. I didn't even know if this was appropriate, but my mom told me that it would be.
I mean, it would crush me. But it'll be one of those things I'd be so happy someone sent me.
Yeah, good. I think so.
It definitely would. Like, you saw my child right before they passed and they were happy and not, you know, and they were going home doing the right thing. My kid's not drinking and driving and doing something fucking stupid, you know, like the other asshole is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm sure she knew most of that by this time, but I just kind of wanted to give her. And, you know, and I said I wasn't the only friend he made in this class, and I know it's the first class he took out here, and he really impacted, a lot of people in there. And
I also think for not only any parent, but especially for a mom who raised a son in today's world, as much as guys are fucking pieces of shit and can be, to hear that your son was a gentleman and a happy person and was good to you and stuff, I think that's the stuff that mom will remember forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
good.
Sure.
I think so too. I mean, I think hopefully it helped her somehow. And she shared that letter with his girlfriend. That's how she got my address now that
she's
I put
like,
it
you
together.
You might want to look into this bitch. Remember when you were not spending time with him? You might want to look into this letter. So she contacted you, huh?
So she wrote me. And said, Neil's mom got your letter. It meant a lot to her. And she introduced herself by, hi, this is my name. And I was Neil's girlfriend up until, you know, a couple weeks ago.
She really wrote that?
Yeah.
That's not necessary, right?
Well,
is it?
I think she probably thought that he wasn't. I mean, again, I guess we never had sex. But
does she mean up until a couple weeks ago because he died, or
yes.
up until a couple weeks ago because she realized like you were in the picture?
No, she meant
that's when.
Yeah,
the
way it was worded was, you know, that it was because
he's dead.
Yeah,
yeah, not
so,
because.
So we broke up.
Yeah, so it's all right.
Hard to.
That's what I'm saying. It's a weird thing to say.
No, it is.
He's now died, so we broke up. But you know,
now that you say it, it was very oddly worded,
and you maybe, said it a few times. So I know it's written in there, and you remember it.
I remember it very distinctly, mm-hmm. and especially since I thought, well, I've never heard of this person, but she had heard of me. So he had told her that he had a friend that was a girl. He probably didn't tell her that we had a couple makeout sessions or whatever, but. Yeah, he had told her about me. And so she said, I know that you have his cats. So, and she's in Florida. And she said, so if you want to send them to me. I was like, how am I going
to
send a cat?
Mailing cats
to Florida.
To
I don't know. There's two of them. You know, I didn't even know how this was possible to try to to get a cat to her. It just seemed like a lot more work than it would be worth. And I said, it's fine. I'll just keep the cats. It's like kind of all I wrote her back. I didn't really know what else to say other than, I guess, congratulations on being his girlfriend. And he didn't fully cheat on you. So that's good.
Yeah.
So it was just a strange sort of culmination of events to find out that he also had, he'd never mentioned her to me. And, you know, it is what it is, obviously, but it just seemed very strange to me.
And then, did you ever hear from her again?
No. I just said, I wrote her back and I said, thanks for the offer. I'm fine to keep them if everybody, unless his family wants them or something. Yeah. And I think everybody was like, no, they're fucking cats. Nobody wants
we're
them.
Good.
Yeah, we don't want them. And then like 2 days later, one of the cats got out and never returned. So he probably went to the coyotes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I was kind of glad he died before that happened. You know, like he was very attached to those cats. So at least he didn't live long enough to see me.
So now
let one get
him
murdered.
And one cat are down. You're like a little bit of a cooler, I feel like. John better be careful, man.
You know what? One time I had sex with a guy who...
Listen, I don't know what you're about to say, but coming off the heels of what we're talking about, for you to say, you know what, one time I had sex with a guy, I can't wait to hear it.
Well, he went missing the next day.
Nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm, and it
turns, missing?
Well, it turns out he got run over by a bulldozer.
Listen, I don't know anyone who knows someone that got run over by a bulldozer.
No.
He died?
Yeah, well, no, because they seem pretty slow. Like, you could get away from a bulldozer.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
He was Croatian, and there was, like, rumors that maybe it was a hit of none of it made any sense. I mean, again, I'm just...
Hold on. All right, we're not just going to gloss over this. Okay. How do you meet this guy?
I worked with him at a bar.
And then you just go home, you have sex.
We worked together for several months, and then one night we just hooked up.
The next day, he's gone. He left that night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he went.
So if he just would have stayed a little longer, this motherfucker might not be dead via bulldozer. I mean, what a way to die.
I got
to
start making people stay around longer.
John, stay put, motherfucker. Yeah. Stay put.
So if you think, oh, you want to leave? Well, you're going to die.
You're going to die, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he also worked at a construction site, and then they said he had a terrible accident, and he was run over by a bulldozer.
That does sound shady.
It sounds shady, right?
I don't care if you're the first day on a detective case. I'm like, let's look into this. Did the guy not have legs? Like, how did he get run over by a bulldozer?
It seems on both ends that the bulldozer could have been like, hey, move.
I mean, unless the bucket dropped and hit him on the fucking head and knocked him. But you would see that. He wouldn't just go missing.
Yeah, these were the...
Who runs over somebody and then doesn't know where the fuck they are for a day? Nobody said move the bulldozer.
I mean, the details were very shady coming in on this story. And believe me, once as shady as they were, I was like, I'm not going to ask any more questions because I don't want to be next.
No, so. You ask questions about a DUI accident. You don't ask questions about a missing person and a bulldozer.
No, and you just
that's between them and them.
Yeah. So, but there's a little bit of a history of me.
Yeah, sounds like it. Like it's a roll of the dice to roll in the hay with you. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Policy Genius. It's May, which means we're already almost halfway through this year. All right, head into the summer with one less thing to worry about. Make sure you're not overpaying for your home and auto insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare home and auto insurance in one place. They can help you find home and auto coverage similar to what you have now, but at a lower price. Their team will handle the paperwork to set you up with the new policy or switch over your current one. Getting started is easy. First, you head to policygenius.com and you answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. All right, I just did this. I just went through renters, earthquake, auto, all of it. You name it, they'll help you out with it. And it's great to use. It's easy to use. Policy Genius takes it from there, okay? They'll compare rates from America's top insurers to find your lowest possible quotes. If they find a better rate than what you're paying now, they'll switch you over for free. Their top-notch service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and on Google. Head to PolicyGenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Our next sponsor is MeUndies. MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin, too. That's why MeUndies not only uses a sustainable, breathable, soft fabric, but they also give you endless styles to choose from. It's total comfort inside and out. They've sent me a few pair now. I like the boxer briefs, and they've sent me colors I would never. I got a white pair with purple trim. I would never buy that. And you know what? My favorite pair. I love them. They fit good. They maintain their hold all day long. You know how you get, like, I used to get those old school boxers and you'd wear them and by the end of the day, the legs are look like shorts on you. You know, these, not like that at all. They're great. MeUndies offers classic colors to ridiculous prints so you can fully express yourself in your own unique way. Plus, MeUndies is inclusive, offering a range of sizes from extra small to 4XL. Never leave your couch again with a MeUndies membership, a monthly subscription that sends new pairs right to your door. With site-wide savings and exclusive sales, you'll automatically pay less for everything. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and you get free shipping. And if you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. To get your 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/honeydew. That's MeUndies.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is ExpressVPN. When you use the bathroom, you always close the door behind you, right? I hope you do. You don't want random passerbyers looking in on you, so why would you let people look in on you when you go online? Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. Did you know that your internet service provider knows every single website you visit? And what's worse is they can sell this information to ad companies and tech giants who will use your data to target you. ExpressVPN puts a stop to this. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity can't be seen by anyone. I use ExpressVPN on all my devices. It works on everything, phones, laptops, even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can still be protected even if they don't have ExpressVPN. I love ExpressVPN to watch Netflix shows that are blocked in the U.S. I just watched Big Lebowski from Australia the other day because they have it blocked here. Got it. No problem. And the best part is using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. You click one button and boom, you're protected. ExpressVPN is the world's number one rated VPN by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and countless others. So if you're like me and believe your online activity is your business, secure yourself by visiting expressvpn.com/honeydew today. Use my exclusive link. That's expressvpn.com/honeydew, and you can get an extra 3 months for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew. All right, so you take this guy's cats. One gets out and dies. One and gets out. You still have a cat.
Yeah, still got a cat. And
how long is that? How long do you have that cat?
16 years.
Holy fuck, from that point, 16 years?
Yeah.
So wait, 97, 2007, I mean.
2013.
Talking about years ago?
Yes, 2013.
Damn, you did a real solid for that cat.
I did. And we became very close. I knew him much and was much closer
to
that.
What's the cat's name?
Mischief.
Was it always Mischief or did you change it?
It was Mischief. It came, Mischief, and the one that went to the coyotes, I believe, was Malky. I remember that cat's name too. But Mischief was this cat.
A slow cat. Yeah. A slow lay over there. You got.
Maybe Malky got run over by a bulldozer.
Yeah, he did.
You can look into these things.
Mm. So you had this cat for 16. How old was it when you got it? A couple years?
I guess.
That's a long time.
I wasn't positive, but I think he said he was around a year or so. So yeah, cats, they really cling on for a while or can. And this one, he went, you know, it was like I went from my one-bedroom apartment at the time with a roommate to a different apartment. I mean, this cat lives in 5 apartments. And then finally, in 2013, when I had to put him down, I was living by myself. And I had just broken up with someone that I'd been with for 5 years. It was basically my only really long-term relationship before I got married. I mean, long-term meaning we lived together and it seemed like maybe it was going to go into marriage. But then when we moved in, I wanted to get married, I thought. And then when he was very much dragging his feet. And then when we moved in together, that's when I was like, oh, I hate this person. I hate this person. I don't want to marry him. I don't even want to live with him. I know some people have different feelings about if you should live with someone first. But if you can, I definitely recommend it because agreed. That's when you really find out.
It's like, that's how you brush your teeth?
It's, yeah.
It's all that little bullshit. It's all that little bullshit that drives you nuts.
Yeah. I remember one time he got hurt and he had Vicodin and he was just like complaining about the pain. And I was just like, I just wanted to stuff all the Vicodin and maybe some into mine and just feel like, this is, why are you complaining? I mean, the guy's knee was broken or something. I mean, it was, you know, he had a reason to complain.
Yeah.
But things like that really drive you crazy. Someone, and our breakup was, it was kind of shit. I mean, I was over it before we broke up, so it was a little bit easier for me. But he was the person that sort of went to, oh, no, maybe I should have treated you differently. And so then he kind of dragged out the breakup. And just by the time it was finally over, I was so relieved. And I was working. I was working on Chelsea Lately at the time, so I had mm-hmm. a full-time writing job. And that kind of came between us because he had been the more successful one. I was always the bartender and he was successful. And then when things changed a little bit, his attitude towards me changed, wasn't very supportive. So by the time we broke up, I just was so relieved to be alone, to be single. I didn't feel like I needed anybody. It wasn't a chip on my shoulder. I just was like, this, who cares if I ever meet someone? This is fine. I can do this all on my own. It doesn't matter. But then when my cat got sick, things like that, I don't know. It depends on how you feel about pets, but I feel like when,
no, especially, we're all animal people, yeah.
Yeah.
We are, for sure.
You know, I mean, 16 years too, or whatever.
And the way you got the cat, like, yeah. There's a whole thing that goes in there. It's not like you went and just rescued this cat from fucking, you know, a shelter. Like, this is a cat that came because someone died.
Yeah, and it felt a little bit sort of like, oh, there's zero connection to this person anymore, mm-hmm. even though I never, you know, it's not like I really thought about him often or wrote his mom anymore or anything. Right. But it was just it was something I kind of took care of for him. The only thing I knew that I could do, maybe it was like making up for letting him go home that night. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was very close to this animal. And so when I found out he was sick, it's the same as probably most people. You find out how to keep them comfortable. You definitely don't want it to go on too long. There's all these things go into it. But at first it seemed fine. It was okay. It's his kidneys were failing, but they can go on a long time. You just have to give them a little fluid and they're comfortable and all this stuff. And I thought, well, that's not a big deal. I got home from this thing that they give me that you have to, it was a fluid thing. You have to get like an IV bag and a fluid and inject him with a little and a shot and all this stuff. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, this is a two person job. You know, that guy shouldn't have died and he could help me. Yeah. You got like, oh, you got a whole, like, I don't think there's ever, I can even picture it sometimes. I mean, I had to take the IV bag, hang it on a hanger and hang that on a closet, wrestle the cat and, you know, get it in. And then once the fluid was in, he was happy and fine and all was good. But the process of it,
sure, yeah,
it just looked like a sad, you know, single cat lady movie that you would fucking write in a second. Like, it just seemed so, so sad. And that went on for, you know, for a little while. It didn't go on too long because it went on until they told me the signs or whatever. But it was hard. And then I was doing a lot of traveling for stand-up, so I would leave town and then I would feel super guilty that I left this animal that I promised someone I would take care of forever at home while he was kind of not feeling well. And then it became, well, I had to put him in a vet when I was gone just so they could keep an eye on him in case he needed more fluids. And it just became like caring for like an elderly like parent or something. It just felt very shitty and awful. And And then when he it was time to put him down, I had the vet come to the house. You know,
they could.
Yeah, it seems like common practice for the most part now, but I think it's probably like a little costly, so it's not as easy to do for everyone. But it's definitely it made it easier because I had friends over and we all kind of said goodbye to him. And I swear to God, when they put him down, I looked down and I saw a tear coming out of his eye.
Nah.
Yeah. And then I realized, well, no, cats don't cry. That's just, it was my own fucking tear that fell on.
You're crying on the cat that land right here. Sarah. Your tears running down the cat's crying, for Christ's sake. Oh, that's so good. It's so sad. It's so goddamn funny.
So fucking pathetic. I was like, oh my God, he feels it too. And then I was like, oh no, that's definitely one of, that's for sure one of mine. Yeah. And then I had to put him down, and I just feel like that was, it was sort of a weird full circle moment, but it was also one of those moments of it would be nice to have somebody by your side. It's like I felt that again, even though I had this in my head of like, you don't need that. And mm-hmm. And luckily I had my friends. It's not as if I didn't have anyone there, but the daily struggle of having a IV hanging from a fucking cabinet and, you know, trying to wrestle an animal. And it just sort of felt like a weird closure with what happened to him, but what happened with the cat.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long book.
Yeah.
It's a long book to write, 16, 17 years. Now, let me ask you this. When it comes to, because you're literally being your hospice care for mm-hmm. the fucking cat, do you start to have any feelings afterwards like, look, honestly, I'm glad the cat's in a better place. I don't have to do this shit anymore with this whole thing. And then the guilt that comes along with feeling better about, hey, everything is the way it should be and this cat's in a better place.
100%. There's, did I let it go on too long? And then there's, oh, the one time I went out of town and then the vet called and said he didn't feel good. And I felt like, oh, was I the shittiest person in the world to, you know, go out of town, even though it was for work, and leave him somewhere else? Cause I remember that night I came home when I picked him up from the vet, and cause he had a little, he just wasn't feeling that well there, and they let me know, but he was still okay. And I remember that night I came home and he just like laid on my chest and slept there. And he usually ran around and like opened cabinets all night. He was a real fucking asshole. but he just slept on my chest and just basically stared at me. Didn't cry. He didn't cry because they don't, but he stared right at me all night and just laid there and purred. And I was like, oh, this guy is like, please don't go out of town anymore. Please don't leave, you know, don't let me go. Don't make me go in another place. Or maybe he was like, please kill me. Please.
Please do this.
Kill me.
Come on, lady. Get yeah, it together. Get shit together and figure this out.
Yeah. I mean, he was, like a big personality in my life, which is sometimes, again, feels so weird to say, but it was a long journey. So I definitely felt guilty, like did I let it go on too long? Or and then when I would feel relieved when I would go out of town, and after 16 years of having to think, who's going to feed him? Where is he going to go? I don't have to hook him an IV up to him and look like the most pathetic person in the world anymore. The relief makes you feel like shit. For
yeah,
sure.
It does, doesn't it? Doesn't the thing that should make you feel good makes you feel like fucking shit?
Yeah, because you feel like you shouldn't have any satisfaction right. out of it.
No,
at all.
Goodness could be come of this. Yes.
Yeah, and yeah, and then that's it. I didn't have him anymore, but I just. It made me realize that I wouldn't mind sharing my life with someone if it's a strange thing to come across from having to put an animal down.
What made you come to that?
Well, part of it was the fact that I realized it would have been nice to have someone there when I was going through it and when he was going through it and help me make the decision instead of just my friends, maybe someone that was there every day. And also, this is going to sound really stupid, but I'm really sad that my husband never got to meet my cat.
That doesn't sound stupid. I'm with you on that shit. I'm sentimental as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, there was a time I met him probably 5 months after I had to put him down, four or five months.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So very soon.
Yeah. And I mean, there was like one night I woke up in the middle of the night crying about the cat, and he was just like, whoa, this you're.
I was thinking about forever, but.
you're real close to this fucking cat, hey?
You're real close to this.
I'm like, don't leave the bed.
Ex-boyfriend's cat here.
Don't leave the bed. You never know what's going to happen to you.
So did you?
I hear a bulldozer coming.
I can't get over that one. I wish we could look into that story.
I know. I'm too afraid to Google it now because I don't. What if
somebody out there Google that damn story? I want to know what happened to that guy. So did you get another pet after that?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
And is it because you don't want to go through that again?
Yeah.
Is it really?
It is.
Is it the loss of the pet you don't want to go through again, or all of it? The maintenance, the, hey, I'm back on the road, someone's got to take care of it. If it gets sick, this has to happen, or was it the loss?
It's a little bit of both, but it's mostly the loss, because I know that I'm in a position to have someone take care of my cat when I'm out of town. I'm in a position to take it to a boarding, but like everyone is, we can all figure it out. And I'm sure that it would be nicer to rescue an animal than just be selfish and not want to have to put one down. But it just feels weird, like I'm betraying him or something. It's really fucking pathetic.
That's not pathetic. I get it. I do get it.
Yeah. So we haven't, and my husband's not a huge, he loves animals, but he is he travels a lot for work too, and he's out of town like half the year. So he's just like, how would we do this? And so I haven't, but a lot of it is my own, just like, oh, and then I just had a friend had to go through and put her dog down, and I'm like, oh god, I just know the pain, and it's just the worst feeling in the world, and I don't want to put myself through that again.
So when you had to put your cat down, or someone else's cat that became your cat down, did that death and dying and, you know, just final moment bring back the feelings that you felt when he passed away?
Yeah, it definitely did, and it made me, I felt like kind of relieved in a sense of you know, if there's any sort of spiritual thing where they get to hang out or whatever.
Yeah, running around a field together. Yeah.
Or the rainbow bridge or whatever they run around. But also just felt like, okay, I took care. Because he said, please, you know, he didn't know he was going to die. But when I took his cats in, he was like, please be very careful. Please make sure they don't get out. I mean, little did he know, one got eaten by a coyote. Or maybe he does know.
Wait, so you had them before he passed?
Yeah, I was watching them. So I had them in my
You didn't take them because he died. You had already had them.
Yeah. So his roommate didn't want, either was allergic or didn't want them or something. So he said until I don't even know how long I was supposed to keep them, to be honest, because he was basically kind of crashing with this roommate, and he was looking for his own place.
I see.
So when he had his own place, he was going to take the cats. But in the meantime, and I had a roommate at the time who was like, why do we have two? Why did I come home? There's two fucking cats all of a sudden. I'm like, I don't know, because Neil needed me to watch them. And she's like, you haven't fucked that guy, but you have his cats. You know, like.
You haven't fucked that guy, but you got his cat.
She's like, I feel like you're kidding.
He's giving you pussy.
I mean,
At least your roommate was honest.
She was.
That's great.
She was like,
fuck that guy, you got his cat.
She was like, you're getting the raw end of this deal. Yeah.
No shit.
But little
did she know, well, half of it. And then you had a partner for 16 fucking years after that.
Yeah, which.
And you got close. So it's not like you just did this to, you know, because you felt obligated. You actually really cared for this cat and bonded.
Yeah.
So that's huge.
And I remember there was a couple times, there was one time he was on his, Neil, when he was still alive, was on his way over. And the cats had gotten out that day. I mean, apparently I wasn't great at keeping the cats inside. I like to blame my roommate. We lived on like Beechwood Canyon and door, you know, no, she didn't give a shit about these cats. She's like, sorry, the door was open. I guess they got out. But luckily they came back right before he visited. So I didn't even tell him. I wasn't they got out. There's, you don't tell anyone, you know, anything like that. But so as far as he knows, they were both in good care when he passed until one Went into the woods, never returned. Maybe he's living a nice life somewhere, you know. But
yeah, the neighbor's house, just went over there and started kicking it there. I was like, fuck this place. I'm going to stay over here.
And then it wasn't long after that, after he passed away, and I had these cats that we had someone break in.
This might break in your home?
Well, it was basically my friend and I had gone out, my roommate and I had gone out. We got home and we basically just fell asleep watching TV on the couch. Cause I mean, at this point we had a one bedroom. So we had like a trundle bed. It was the saddest, you know, it was like Lucy and Desi sleeping together. It was really pathetic. So a lot of times one of us would sleep
on the top bed and who had the
bottom? She had the top.
You had the
Which actually is kind of fucked up because it was my dad gave me that bed.
And you're on the most uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Bed of it,
on the most uncomfortable. And. I forgot about that. God, I really like let her get away with whatever. But so a lot of times we would fall, or one of us would fall asleep on the couch or whatever. We'd been drinking. We were out. We fell asleep. And I guess one of us didn't lock the door, but we thought we did. And luckily she woke up first. There was somebody opening the door to the apartment. And she woke up and she just ran to the door and the person backed out. Which I don't know if I would have had that instinct or not. I think I would just cry in a corner and let someone would try. But her instinct was to run. And since he wasn't all the way in, he backed out. And then we locked the door and we called 911. And my friend she's looking out the window and he's just standing there with his dick in his hand.
Nah.
Yeah. And he's just standing there and he's like, the window was kind of cracked so we could kind of hear him. And he was like,
I know you ain't fucked your boyfriend yet.
Heard you might need some.
Heard you was looking for some. I might be barking up the wrong tree, but I'm right here with my dick in my hand.
Very could have easily heard me talking about it at the bar.
Men, though, I don't know any man who could sit here and say they've ever had some woman try to break in their home with their just pussy all out. Like, it doesn't – I don't know if that happens. Mathematically, it has to, but there's got to be, like, five of those stories in the history of those stories.
Yeah.
This is a guy trying to break into your home with his dick already out.
Yeah. And
holy
he said
– shit.
When she saw him outside, he actually said – he goes, oh, I was just jerking off. That like, oh, sorry, you interrupted me, basically.
Walk in and jerk off to two girls sleeping? No.
Yeah.
That's something I was getting something on him, I feel like.
Yeah. And then the worst part was I was on the phone while she was looking at him and she, you know, we're both panicking. And she's like, oh, my God, he's jacking off. And I yell into 911, he's jacking off. And they're like,
I wish we could hear that call. It exists somewhere.
You know
that
it
call
does.
Exists somewhere.
Oh. You know it does.
Oh, my God.
And then he took off, luckily. And the cops came like 3 hours
later.
Yeah, they don't, you know, there's bigger problems, I guess. But I was like, what if he, they don't know, what if he came back?
Yeah, seriously.
But at the time, it was not long after.
He came, I don't know if he came back, but he came. He came and went.
We really ruined that guy's. Plan, but
yeah.
He probably
like,
finished
your problem,
anyway. Yeah,
you two bitches.
Oh, he was so blasé about it. I was just jacking off. Okay, sorry.
That's when you know they're psychotic.
Yeah,
when they're super cash about the craziest shit. Like, I'm just breaking in your home to jerk off. Like, yeah, we got a problem with it.
Yeah, and I didn't have anywhere to go. I just remember thinking this wasn't long after Neil had died, so I was like, I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anywhere else to stay. At night, you know, and my friend, of course, she had a boyfriend, and she started staying the night at his house.
I bet,
she was just like, screw you.
Fuck you and that cat.
Yeah. So she just started staying in his house, and I just remember thinking.
You never had a problem with it again.
No, luckily, no, but I just remember thinking, like, God, it would be nice to have someone to be with right now or another place to stay, and it wasn't too long after him, so I was like, oh, if Neil was around, I could stay with him, but...
wonder if his girlfriend would care. You know, all night she wasn't there.
Can you believe that letter? I think I still have it too.
Do you really?
Think I saved it. Yeah. Because I felt like, I'm sure. Yeah, I know I do. I definitely saved it because I don't know. It was like the only thing I had sort of left of him in a way, but also it was evidence that he had a girlfriend if it ever came up. I don't know. It was just a lot of things.
Break-ins. I had a good friend of mine. She called me one morning and she said that she had a roommate, another girl I knew, and her name's Christy. So she went to work. Her roommate Rachel went to work first. And when Christy got up, she said she sat down at the kitchen table, was having a little bowl of cereal, and looked over and saw that the screen had been pushed in. And then so she texted her roommates like, hey, you didn't see the screen like this? Like, you know, why are you leaving shit like that? The door's unlocked. You just left with the door unlocked. And she's like, no, I didn't. And she's like, huh? And so between the time that her roommate left for work early in the morning and the time she woke up, someone had come in thinking that the place was empty, saw her, freaked out, bailed. Okay. Oh, wow. A week later, Rachel's now home sleeping on like a Saturday morning. She wakes up and there's a gardener looking in the window, fucking jerking it. And he was one of the landscaping crew employees that would do like several of the buildings in the area. And we lived in Sherman Oaks at the time.
Yeah.
And this guy ends up coming in and not knowing, and, like, had been casing the place for a while and everything. And then just same shit. Like, then they never had a problem again. But I was like, fuck.
I guess it's like a one and done. You just sort of go, I'm not going to show my face there again.
It's a one and done for you. But right. That person's probably doing that to who until they get caught, probably, right. You know, the
sickness. And they never do. Yeah,
never. The police aren't coming fast. Unless you get them and hold them there and they'll be, you know, if you can hold, if anyone out there can hold an intruder for 3 hours, you might be able to fucking get the cops to help you out.
Yeah. I started sleeping with pepper spray under my pillow after that. And we didn't have air conditioning in that apartment. So I woke up at like one time, it was, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning or something. And I was like, oh, there's someone in here. Cause I had one of those like tall fans at the end of my bed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, there's somebody fucking in here. And I, I unloaded my pepper spray.
Didn't. Into the fan, right back on you. Are you fucking serious?
Luckily it didn't go.
You're spraying the whole fucking room full of that shit. I've accidentally hit it in a car with a friend just jerking around one time, and it fucking filled the whole car. Eyes were broke. We were coughing and gagging. I can't imagine having it right back into my face.
I guess it got kind of spread out to where it wasn't so bad. I wasn't like blinded or something, but I definitely was like, oh my God. You know what I mean? That's another moment of maybe I need to live with someone else, you know, someone that'll stay around, because if you wake up and pepper spray yourself out of fear from a fan.
And panic from a fan.
Shit's not going great. Yeah.
So did you have any other serious relationships between this guy and John? Or were you like put off by, you said maybe like, yeah, they're going to leave anyway. So was it more casual? Did you find yourself afraid to commit?
No, not really. I had a couple, you know, several month to maybe a year relationships, nothing where I was living with anyone or being like too serious with anyone. A couple where I probably either the person was more into me or I was more into them. A couple of those relationships where I was like, okay, well, this isn't going very far. And then I had a guy, there was a guy that I dated on and off for 5 years. He's the one I ended up moving in with, that I had my cat still then. And
so he got to meet your cat.
He got to meet my cat.
This motherfucker.
Yeah, he didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve the time. But he was really the only sort of longer term, because I think it was part fear of somebody just, you know, of getting too close to someone and them disappearing, and then part my own just bullshit and immaturity, probably, of not being knowing when I was ready. Or it wasn't until when I met my husband, it was like, oh, that's...
You knew?
Yeah. I was...
Quickly?
Quickly. We met in person. Like, we had talked for about 2 months, just texting, and we'd never spoken on the phone. And
how did you meet?
So he plays football. He plays...
I know who
at
he
the
is.
Time. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, he played for the Seahawks at the time. And he...
Did you even like football? Did you give a fuck about football?
I did. I mean, I'm a huge baseball fan, mm-hmm. but I've never had, especially growing up in Arkansas, I was more of a college football fan. I didn't really have
Who's closest to you? Well, I guess Dallas,
Razorbacks.
Probably. No, well, yeah, I mean, NFL.
Yeah, NFL would be Dallas or the Chiefs. And most of my family was like Chiefs or Dallas. So, I mean, I liked it, but I didn't pay enough attention to have a team. And then when I met him, he was, it was funny. It was actually the year they won the Super Bowl, and Ross Matthews, you know Ross Matthews?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a big Seahawks fan, and he was down on the sidelines during a championship game, and John went up to him and he was like, "Hey, do you know Sarah Colonna? Don't you guys work together?" Because we had been doing the panel on Chelsea at the time. And he was like, "Yeah, I know her." And he said, "I have a crush on her. Do you want to hook us up?" And Ross
nice.
Was like, "Maybe we'll see. Why don't you see if you can win the game?" Or whatever he said to him.
Why don't you get out there and punt the ball first, bro? Yeah. You got some other shit you need to
worry about. Shit to focus on.
I don't need you focused on her, motherfucker. We got a ring to win.
I mean, I know you have a little time off in quarters, but come on, buddy.
Come on, bro. We're trying to win a championship. That's great.
Oh, and then Ross texted me afterward that he was like, "This guy is gonna, he's gonna tweet you." And
so he knew of you from television.
Yeah.
But you did not know of him at all.
No.
At all.
No, I didn't. Yeah. No.
He makes the first move then.
Yeah.
And
he basically said he wrote me and was like, you know, it's funny, when he wrote me, I looked and I already followed him and I realized he had tweeted me or something before. I mean, it's just so, I don't pay that much
attention.
I know. I was like, oh, it's verified. Okay, I guess I'll follow him. Well. Yeah. It's cute, you know. And I just remember thinking, the last person I would want to date is an athlete. I mean, I had hooked up with a baseball player and it was just gross. Everything about it was gross. I mean, it was fun, but I was just like, oh, this is gross.
Why?
Cause I set myself up for it. I basically flew, we had been messaging and texting, and then I basically flew to see him play and thought we were gonna go out on a date, but we didn't. We were just in his hotel room, and then I saw myself out. It was, you know, it was just
I saw myself out and single.
And this was like, you know, I felt confident in myself at the time.
Do you have a cat you need taken care of? I'm pretty solid with that, bro.
Mine's on its way out if you'd like to give me a new one. Yeah, it was just one of those. It was a whole lead up, but I flew to see him and remember thinking like it was fun. And I was like, I don't know. I just felt like I was doing something a little bit out of my comfort zone and hooking up with this athlete and all this stuff. And then I did not feel great afterwards. I mean, it wasn't like I was down on myself. I was just like, that was disappointing. Like,
I was hoping for more.
I thought he would be fun and we would like hang out and he seemed like a fun person and his persona was very fun, but he was just more of like a dick. And I should have figured that out. But so I was sort of not really ready to hit the reply button on another athlete on Twitter.
Yeah.
But Ross was like, "No, I follow the Seahawks. This guy's been on there for years. I've never heard a bad word about him. Everyone on the team loves him." So I said, "All right." And then we started talking, and he's very funny. Like, he just led with his personality, and then we kept talking, and he said, "You know, we moved on to phone numbers as you do from Twitter. It's all so stupid." But he said, "You know, I have a kind of a big game to play." The Super Bowl was that week. And he said, "But I'd like to take you out when we're done, when I'm back." And then they won that night. And he was texting me all night after the win, photos of him holding the trophy, photos in the locker room, photos of the party afterwards. And it just felt like he was trying to let me know that he, because we'd been talking for, you know, a bit at this point. And it felt like he was trying to let me know, like, "Hey, I'm interested in you. I'm not out doing." I mean, if there's any point you're going to run around New York with your dick out, it's after you win a Super Bowl, right? Yeah. And
I mean, that's a reason to bust into somebody's apartment with your dick out. Not just some rando shit.
Sorry, I just won the Super Bowl.
Get it, right?
That'd have been a much better 911 call. "Hey, just won the Super Bowl."
It's a punter, I think.
Yeah. That was when I realized he was not like the other person that I had encountered. It was a bit of a different personality. And I just from there, it just sort of escalated. He came to LA in February, I think that year, he took his family to Disneyland, as you do after the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. And then he took an Uber up to Studio City, where I was living at the time, and took me out to dinner. Yeah. And
no, it was, shit. How nice is that? All right.
Yeah. And it was just right. We'd been talking for so long, and he was just so, like, he brought me, on our first date, he brought me a box of all his favorite shit. Like, this his is my favorite candy. This is my favorite movie. This is my favorite. He had a bobblehead of, I think, someone from the Mariners. Like, he's a big baseball fan too. He had all this stuff in a box, and he was
how,
like,
hilarious would it be if it was the guy you hooked up with, the bobblehead? You're like, get that fucking thing out of here.
Oh, that's fun. Look at that bobblehead. Can I see it for a minute? Throw it over the balcony.
Oh, shit. Mm.
Yeah, it was not him, thank God. But, yeah, he brought me all that stuff to tell me. Now, these are my favorite things. I can't wait to learn what all yours are.
Yeah, that's great.
And I was
great.
Like, that's a move. Mm-hmm. You know? And he's just super supportive and funny and sort of broke that wall down in me of thinking that you couldn't really. I had pretty serious trust issues with people, and I was always right. Like, the guy that I was living with before was he, and it wasn't about me. He was just so insecure that he had to text or email any Facebook, anyone he could. He needed that attention. And maybe it would never went further than that. I have no idea. But they were very inappropriate for someone, especially in any relationship, let alone. And I can break your password like nobody's fucking business. Like, I broke his password fast.
Look, I just show it to him now. I'm like, look, well, let me show you, open my phone up. It's boom, 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 right there, okay? That's my password.
And I got into his Facebook and found a lot of very inappropriate things. And he, you know, basically blamed me for it. And I'm like, this isn't how this is supposed to work. And that was another reason it was very easy for me to end that relationship and just feel relief. And I swear to God, with John, I am like, his phone, I could give a shit about his phone, when he gets a text or something. And that's how it should be. And I feel like, yeah, I know there are people who are over jealous for other reasons, and they're always looking for something. But for me, the two times that it has happened to me, it has been because I was dead on correct. Mm-hmm. And I could tell by their behavior, I could tell something was going on. And then, of course, they want to blame you. But with my husband, I've had to ask him for his passcode when he was driving or something. He's like, I've given it to you. I'm like, yeah, I don't need to remember it. I've never looked at all.
I'm the same way. I'm not looking at your fucking phone. No, I got better shit to do. Yes. I know I'm just going to get pissed off. If I'm right, I'm just going to get mad. You know, I don't want to be right.
Oh, well, if I'm right, I want to know. Yeah. But luckily with him, I don't have, you know, I mean, for all I know, he's running around to Sherman Oaks at night, putting his dick in the window. But he hides it really well and makes me feel secure.
People
so
don't recognize him, so good news.
Yeah, like, oh, he usually has his helmet on TV, so nobody knows it's him.
All right, so we're about there, and I want to ask you what I ask every guest that comes on for the first time. Advice you would give to your 16-year-old self. What would you say to 16-year-old Sarah?
Well, lock your door when you get home from the bar. Yeah, and if you know anyone that works around bulldozers,
tell them to keep
a lookout over their shoulder.
This has been fun. I don't know if we've had people talk about the loss of a pet like that, and but also how it ties into this. What a tragic story. I'm sorry. That's fucking sucks.
Well, thank you. I mean,
that really does suck to know that you were there. There's absolutely nothing you could have done, but to know you were there and at that.
I mean,
tough.
You really are driving that point home, though. You know what I mean? Just to make sure I think about it for the rest.
I mean,
rest.
If you could have just said, hang on a second, let me tie my shoe real quick here, and then we'll walk anything. No, I'm just kidding. Please plug, promote everything again.
Yes, please. SarahColonna.com has the links to all the tour dates that will be updated, and my books. And like I said, watch Shameless, watch Insatiable. And I do have a podcast. It's about Lifetime movies and making fun of them. So it's a little bit niche, but it's super fun. And it's called Are You My Podcast?
Awesome. Thank you very much. This was a lot of fun. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We will talk to you all next week.